Boom, boom, pow. All right, we are recording now. It's a total eclipse of the heart.
My name is Dulce Valencia, and welcome to Telenovelas con Dulce, the podcast where each week I guide you through the dramatic world of telenovelas, covering everything from the plot, the insults, the secret twins, and the unforgettable love stories in between. This is a podcast made for telenovela lovers just like me.
Hi friends, my name is Dulce Valencia. Welcome back to the podcast. Dear listener, how are you all doing today? I hope you're doing well. Today was the eclipse and literally I have so much FOMO because I do not live in the path of totality. I did not go out of my way to do it, but I feel like everyone else did and I don't know, I didn't even get eclipse sunglasses, so I didn't get to see it, but I saw it last year when it happened, and so I'm kind of like, you know, I'm okay with that, but I still have a lot of FOMO, and basically I'm becoming an eclipse chaser, and I am determined the next time there's an eclipse, I'm gonna go see it. But I hope you're all, I hope you're all doing well, and that if the eclipse was close to you, you got to experience that. It seems so cool. All my TikTok has been about it. So yeah, that's what's on my mind today. How are you all? Hope you're doing well. Today, I'm actually really excited to talk about this telenovela because it's an oldie. It's an 80s telenovela, but it is so groundbreaking. Y'all are not ready. I don't know if you all, because I think I get the sense that most of you are similar in age to me and grew up with like the Teresas and Rubies of telenovelas, but this one is an OG, and I am so excited to talk about it. But that's a whole lot of preamble, so let me just tell you all what we're going to be talking about today. Today, we are going to be talking about Amor en Silencio. Ooh, yeah, if you're not familiar with this, Amor en Silencio was a Mexican telenovela produced by Carla Estrada for Televisa in 1988. Y'all know, I love Carla Estrada, like, that is my Shonda Rhimes. Carla Estrada is my queen, she's an OG, she's single-handedly, I think, revolutionized telenovelas, and I'm, like, the biggest fangirl. But anyway, this telenovela was produced by her, we love her, of telenovela hits like Pasión, Quinceañera, and she recently did the Gloria Trevi biopic that was on VIX. But yes, this was produced by her. It starred Erika Buenfil, Arturo Peniche, Omar Fierro as the protagonists, and Margarita Sáenz, Elvira Moncel, Joaquín Cordero, Alberto, oh my goodness, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Mayagoitia, I think that's it, Alberto Mayagoitia, oh my god, I'm so sorry, Alberto Mayagoitia, and Alberto Estrella, Rosa Furman, and Ada Carrasco as the antagonists. Yeah, we had a lot of antagonists in this one. So, as usual, we're going to talk about some fun facts, and then we're going to hit the plot, and y'all, this plot, it is so juicy, it is so good. If you get a chance to watch it, I definitely recommend it. I don't know if it exists on English subtitles, or if it even exists in its entirety on YouTube, but, like, try to find it. Like, you'll find clips. I rewatched some clips when I was preparing for this episode. So try it. Please try it. Like, you won't regret it. But that being said, this telenovela, there's going to be major spoilers that I'm going to be talking about. And you may be thinking, Dulce, you have spoilers all the time. You literally, like, that's what you do. But I really want to warn you because this one is such a good like, if you go completely blind watching it, you will not regret it. But then I also want you to listen to my episode of this telenovela, so, like, I don't know what to do. Okay, I didn't think this through. Okay, so basically, you've been warned. There's going to be a major spoiler because, like I said, this telenovela was groundbreaking. So I'm just going to go ahead and get started on the fun facts, and then we're going to go and move on to the plot, and then everything will make sense, and I hope you all geek out about it as much as I do because, like I said, this is, This is groundbreaking. I'm acting like I was alive when it aired, but I basically feel like it. Anyway, okay, let's get started with some fun facts. So first of all, this telenovela was broadcast by Telemundo in the United States and not Univision. This almost never happens. It only happened, I think, another time with Pasión en Poder. And the reason was basically just Telemundo licensed it, and that was it. But most Televisa telenovelas, if not all of them, are broadcast in the U.S. by Univision, but this one, Telemundo, got a hold of it. Another fun fact, this telenovela had two sets of protagonists, and I'll talk about more of that later. Like, it's not like in Celia, where the reason there's two sets of protagonists is because one play the younger and one play the older. It's a little bit different here, and I'll explain more later. Another fun fact, this telenovela broke the mold of a telenovela. Again, I'll explain what this is more later. Another fun fact was that this telenovela was divided into two parts. Again, this will make sense later. Oh my god, I should have prepared a little bit better. It'll make sense in a bit once we get started on the plot. Another fun fact is this was the first time a male protagonist in a telenovela had a disability. Most times in telenovelas, either people with disabilities don't exist, or if there is a disability, it's the women characters. So like, I'm thinking of that one telenovela. Oh my god, I'm blanking on the name. It's with Fernando Colunga and Leticia Calderon. I think it's called Esmeralda. Like, if you remember that telenovela, the protagonist is blind. Like, and she's a woman. That was typically usual in telenovelas. Like, it was not usual, but if there was going to be someone with a disability, it was always going to be a woman. And this is the first time that it was a male protagonist who had a disability. In this case, the protagonist's disability was he couldn't talk and he couldn't hear. I think that's actually not the case for this one. I think it was just that he couldn't talk. But again, it broke the mold because before this, there's like thousands of telenovelas, but from what I can tell, it was the first time it was a male protagonist, which was groundbreaking. And I'll talk a little bit more about like why this was so groundbreaking once we get to the finale. Another fun fact is that this telenovela won the prize for Best Telenovela at the TV Novela Awards. I've talked about these awards before. These are basically the Oscars of telenovelas. And if anyone from Televisa is listening, please invite me to the next one, please and thank you. I actually don't know if they're having them anytime soon. Another fun fact is this telenovela launched Omar Fierro's career. He was basically only known for really small roles before this, but after being the protagonist in this telenovela, his career blew up. And yeah, like most recently, he was actually not too long ago in a telenovela reunited with Erika Buenfil, which was really cute because they got to play, you know, like an older couple, which, you know, they got their start, not their start. Erika Buenfil has been acting for forever, but, you know, they both were definitely launched into a bigger stage when they did this telenovela together. I should not have my phone out. I was putting it away. That's what I was doing. Another fun fact was that there was a church service done in sign language in this telenovela that hired extras that were part of the deaf and mute community to attend and be extras in this ceremony. This is so, I will get more into this towards the end when I talk about it, but this was, again, groundbreaking because up until this point in Mexico, there wasn't, you know, people with disabilities kind of existed in the shadows. Like, they were banned from society. They were people that were kept in. Like, no, like, wheelchair ramps, for example, weren't a thing. And so this was really important for a telenovela to do. And so I'll get to that more later. Another fun fact is there was a remake of this telenovela most recently. Oh my god, I did not write down the year. I should have done this. But it was, it's called A Que No Me Dejas. Oh wait, no, I did do. Oh my god, I did write it down. I just wasn't reading it correctly. Okay, so there was a remake of this telenovela. There were actually two other versions. One in 1999 called Háblame de Amor, and another in 2015 called A Que No Me Dejas, which has one of my favorite theme songs because it's Alejandro Sanz, and it's A Que No Me Dejas, and it's so good. Anyway, but that's a ramble. But basically, in the remake, A Que No Me Dejas, which starred Camila Sodi, if y'all know, she played Ruby in the Ruby remake that wasn't well received because no one can compare to Barbara Mori's Ruby. I'm sorry, I like Camila Sodi, but like, They were setting themselves up for failure when they did that remake. But anyway, in this telenovela, both Arturo Peniche and Erika Buenfil appeared in this. Arturo Peniche played the role of Marisela's father, except in this one, she wasn't called Marisela. But he played a really important role, while Erika Buenfil played a minor character, a minor but important character. So they both appeared in the remake. So now, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and talk about the plot, and this is where it's going to get juicy. Again, I will not cover every single thing. If you can, go watch it, but you'll get the gist of what this telenovela is. So first of all, this telenovela had two parts, and let's start with the first part. We meet Arturo Peniche and Erika Buenfil, who are the protagonists playing Marisela and Fernando, respectively. The basic gist is that Marisela and Fernando love each other, but love is never easy in a telenovela. Marisela's father, Miguel, doesn't approve of the relationship, and Fernando has a sister named Mercedes, who is obsessed with him, if you catch my drift. Yeah, another telenovela that has incest. She is obsessed with him, and so that causes complications. So in the beginning, Marisela has always been her parents' favorite. She has a sister named Paola, who is always jealous of her. And Marisela also has a bestie. Her bestie dies, and she leaves her in charge of her young son, Angel, whose father is, like, an alcoholic, and Angel also has a disability. So, like, you know, Marisela raises Angel as her own. Then Marisela gets pregnant. Of course, it's, what's his name? Oh my God, I can't believe I'm blanking on his name. I'm not blanking. It's Fernando's child. So she gets pregnant. Her father kicks her out of the house and is like, you've ashamed me. But he's like, he also suffers from not having her in the house because, again, she's like the favorite kid. Which, by the way, I didn't mention, but like, it's on them. Like, having a favorite kid, like, come on. I know parents do, but, like, at least be subtle about it. But anyway, he kicks Marisela out of the house, but then when she gives birth to a young daughter, a young baby girl, whom she names Anna, and that's when her dad is like, okay, you can come back home. But when she does, he tells her that he and her mom are gonna raise Anna as their own, so Anna grows up thinking that Marisela is her sister, but in reality, Marisela is her mother. So right away, we have so many twists and so many conundrums made by these characters that just chef's kiss in terms of drama and intrigue. So anyway, time passes. Fernando, who has been absent this whole time because he's been abroad in the United States, returns. And lo and behold, of course, he still loves Marisela. He doesn't know, however, that she had his daughter. But, of course, they're, like, still in love with each other, but Marisela has, like, this, you know, this feeling that something is gonna go wrong, so, like, they decide that they're just gonna go and live their great love story and get married together. They tell Anna that they're their real parents, and it's all beautiful, it's wonderful, they're gonna get married. There's been a falling out at this point between Fernando and his sister Mercedes, but he still cares about her because it's his sister, so he invites her to the wedding. And that is a mistake. That is a mistake that will haunt him. Well, not. Sorry, this is only funny to me. I was going to say that will haunt him for the rest of his life. But there's not much of a rest of his life to to talk about. So, Okay. And this is where the telenovela takes a turn. Because As we're getting here, it seems like it's gonna wrap up nicely. And telenovelas sometimes do these things with two parts where, you know, like in the middle, like the protagonists get married, and then they do, and then we like jump forward into the future, and then we see them live like the second part of their lives, you know, more problems, more challenges, but you know, they come out strong. And this is where this telenovela changed the game for what telenovelas could do and could be. So, to set the stage a little bit, we all know telenovela villains are campy and a bit too much sometimes, and you know, we don't take them too seriously sometimes because, yes, they may kill, but oftentimes they're incompetent and rarely do they ever get away with their maldades. And this is where Mercedes enters. Mercedes, as I mentioned, is Fernando's sister, and she is obsessed with her brother. And yes, by obsessed, I mean she's in love with him. And so he leaves that wedding invitation for her, and she shows up to the wedding. And when she does, she shows up and she utters her iconic phrase, "Vete al infierno, Marisela," which translates to "Go to hell, Marisela." And what does she do? Is she unloads a gun, not once, not twice, not even three or four times, like six times. She fires an entire round of a gun at Marisela and Fernando, who are hit multiple times. Like, and this is like in the wedding. Like, Fernando, when he gets hit, like, he goes over the wedding cake, and he, you know, like, it's really dramatic. It's dramatic. And yes, yeah, so they get hit. Marisela's mother, it goes into shock and, like, faints and passes out. Everyone is rushed to the hospital. And Marisela and Fernando obviously survive because they're the protagonists. And Mercedes goes to jail, right? Wrong. Yet again, this telenovela does the opposite. So instead of Marisela and Fernando surviving, they die. Our protagonists die. And when I say that all of Mexico was rocked to their core, I mean it. Like, families were crying at their TVs. They had never seen something so brutal happening in a telenovela. Like, if you go to the YouTube video and watch the scene of Marisela, like, unaliving, of Mercedes unaliving Marisela and Fernando, like, all the comments will be people talking about, like, oh my god, I was a kid and I remember watching this with my abuela or my mom, and I remember all of us crying. Like, I remember even my dad crying. Like, people remember this scene because up until this point in telenovelas, yes, people might die, but it was never the protagonist. And if it was, it was typically at the end of the telenovela after, you know, something dramatic happened. And there was always, like, an out, you know, there was almost never was it something like this. Like, Mercedes showing up and basically, you know, unloading a gun at all of them, that had never been done. And the protagonist dying, are you kidding me? Like, that never, ever happened in telenovelas up until that point. Of course, because of the way that this shocked an entire country, it ended up happening a few more times. People try to recreate this. Like, even recently, I can think of a telenovela with Angelique Boyer called Amar a Muerte, where the protagonist dies in the end, you know. Although in that one, they kind of, like, do a little thing where it's kind of implied that she might be reincarnated after. Really interesting telenovela. Has a great theme song. But, you know, up until then, this never happened. And so, you know, what do you do when your protagonists die? This is where the second part of the telenovela goes into play. So Ana, Marisela and Fernando's young daughter, gets sent to a boarding school, which she hates because it separates her from Angel, who at this point, like, he loves her, like, they're in love, which is a little weird. It's kind of like a Clueless thing where Ana and Angel are step-siblings. Like, there's no blood relationship, but they kind of grew up together, so it's weird. But they're in love. They're in love, but Ana gets sent away by her grandfather. And so they're separated, and it kind of makes her resent her grandfather. But Don Miguel, who at this point has kind of been a villain, you know, he's the one that sent Marisela away from the house when she got pregnant and everything, and didn't listen to her when she was talking about how she felt something bad was going to happen. And so he really does a 180. Oh my god, I didn't mention it. Okay, so basically, remember how I said that Marisela's mom passed out when she saw the carnage? So yeah, she dies. Again, another major character just gone. She dies from a heart attack, and it turns out that she was pregnant. So it's like a double whammy. So then Don Miguel, as a result of this tragedy, like, vows to become a much more caring person, and he does. Of course, he sends Ana away, and she kind of resents him for that. But he vows to basically support his granddaughter in a way that he never supported his daughter, which, you know, he feels guilty for, and one of the reasons he thinks, like, all this tragedy happened. So then years pass, And Ana is now grown up and she looks exactly like her mother. And that is because she is played also by Erika Buenfil. So she plays Ana, and then meanwhile, what's his name plays Angel, a grown up Angel. I cannot believe I just said what's his name. Omar Fierro. Omar Fierro plays Angel. And when Ana returns, she comes back with her bestie, and she and Angel, well, she also has like another, there's a lot of stuff that happens. There's like a lot more drama. Maybe that's the part I won't spoil for you. But like, she comes back and her and Angel are in love, but he has no way of expressing his love for her because he can't speak, which is the amor en silencio in question here, which is, you know, like a way to bring it back. But yeah, so she comes back with a bestie from the US, but she's also like engaged to someone, but her true love is Angel. So it's their love that they're going to have to fight for. And things will get complicated because Mercedes escapes the psych ward where she has been all these years. And when she sees Ana, she thinks that it's Marisela who survived the shooting somehow. And she vows to put an end to her once and for all. And will she succeed? Will she not? I mean, this is a telenovela, and while it broke the mold for a bit, we are going to eventually get a happy ending. And Ana and Angel will get to live out their great love story. And this is where I want to talk about the ending, because as I mentioned, this telenovela broke a lot of molds. And yes, it broke them when it killed off its protagonist. But another mold that it really broke was when it came to people with disabilities, because as I mentioned, back in the day, especially during this time, like people with disabilities were kind of hidden in Mexican society. Like, they were reserved to being at home. Again, like, even wheelchair ramps like did not exist on streets. Like, if you had a family member who had a disability, they were, you know, they were taken care of, but like in the privacy of their home, and they were never taken out, and you know, they were hidden. But then now comes this telenovela who has the male protagonist, again, also breaking the norm, be someone with a disability. It had never been seen before. And so one beautiful thing they did, because this is a telenovela, right? It's going to end with a big wedding if it's classic. And it does. And in that telenovela, like, Carla Estrada and the production team hired all these extras who were part of the deaf and mute community to attend this church service. And at the time, this was very, very revolutionary because, as I mentioned, they were kept most of the time by their families. Like, they weren't brought out in the open. And here they were attending a church service that was in sign language, so like they could understand. And Carla Estrada in a book writes about how just unforgettable this moment was for her, like seeing all of them, like, because Mexico is a very Catholic country, so they're very religious, and to see all these people in church together in a church that they could understand, that was so powerful. And that it's just really cool to hear about it, because, you know, you like, I sometimes think, especially because I grew up most of my time in the United States, so, you know, something like this, I think about it and I'm like, what do you mean? Like, there were no, you know, wheelchair ramps. What do you mean? Like, people with disabilities were hidden. But like, I've talked to people who have told me, like, this is where this information comes from. And, you know, they say that was just like not the case. And I mean, the US isn't perfect. Like, we still have a long ways to go with accessibility and everything. But it's really cool, I guess, what I'm trying to say. It's really cool to see how a telenovela could impact culture in such a visceral way, in the same way that this telenovela did when it came to disability representation. And it's a telenovela, right? Which we think of silly, we think of dramatic, we think of almost like not mattering. But for it to do something like this and really change, you know, change culture, that I think is really, really special. And that is Amor en Silencio, and why I'm so excited about this telenovela. It's really a you had to be there moment for so many people. I, again, going back to the theme of having FOMO, I have FOMO that I didn't get to experience it live, because I imagine, like, I think this Amor en Silencio was the Red Wedding episode of Mexico. Like, y'all remember Game of Thrones and the Red Wedding? Yeah, that was what Amor en Silencio was to Mexico. And that's so cool. So yeah, So that is the end of this episode, our 8th episode of this new season. And when I come back next week, I have 2 telenovelas left. Triunfo del Amor, which, okay, actually, let's talk about it. So y'all know, when I gave the list, and basically the 2 telenovelas that I have left are Triunfo del Amor and Te Sigo Amando. But here's the thing. When I said Triunfo del Amor, I actually meant En Nombre del Amor. And I actually haven't even seen Triunfo del Amor, if I'm being honest. And so I was gonna like watch bits and pieces, but like I haven't seen it and I never even wanted to talk about it. I know it's like popular. So if someone feels really strongly about it, I'll cover it during the summer. But I'm actually gonna cover En Nombre del Amor because that's the one I wanted to talk about, another heartbreaker. So for next week, I'll cover either En Nombre del Amor or Te Sigo Amando, both iconic telenovelas. I have talked about Te Sigo Amando. I did an episode of it years and years ago with Katia Quiroz, but I'll do another one. I'll do another one in this new format. So we'll do those 2 telenovelas, and then I'm taking a little break, and then I'll come back with bi-weekly episodes. So if you have suggestions for telenovelas that you want me to cover in the future in this format before I jump into, like, rewatching an entire telenovela in the fall, let me know. Send them to me through Instagram. You know, I'm Dulce Valencia S. Find me. Email me. Y'all have ways of contacting me. Let me know. Take care. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I kind of rambled at the end, but like, thank you so much. And take care. I will see you all again next week. Bye, everyone.